SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Obviously a ton to dissect and digest and interpret and speculate upon. A lot of terrific racing. It really didn't have to wait until Saturday and Sunday. Started on Friday. Later when we talk to Johnny, we'll go through that first Stronach Pagna pick five and the $10,000 payoff. It was exactly as advertised. It was just precisely as tricky for ticket building and exactly the exercise we all anticipated. Congratulations to those that that hit. We'll talk about it with Johnny. I know he and I were going back and forth about size of tickets and structure and liens, and there were approaches that probably some valuable lessons coming out of that. But then everything gave rise to the important Breeders' Cup Challenge scenarios, even the races that did not have win and you're in provisos and bonus packages attached. We're plenty compelling. Where do you start? I guess you start in the classic division. That's the glamour division. And there's never been anything necessarily glamorous about two of the biggest race winners from the weekend. And that includes Discreet Lover. Can we say definitively he's Repent's best son? I think you can. The amazing story of Uriah St. Louis and what has been such a consistent, hard-trying, hard-hitting, blue-collar type. Pull out all the, you know, all the trite descriptions that are appropriate, and they all are. This was remarkable, and you know the $100 mutual. That whatever. I don't even. To me, that is that sort of extraneous. The story of St. Louis and what he has done, and I retweeted the link to the story Dave Grenig wrote at the time of the Whitney, and St. Louis, literally, it. He's the, as I think I said, the Trinidadian Bobby Frankel. He came right out of the grandstand. He was a player, and he enjoyed it. And as Dave explained, his wife said, you know, you're betting on these horses. You don't have any, you don't know anything about them. Why don't you learn something? So he did. And when he was going to technical high school, as a, in Queens, he would run over to literally run on the track team. He would literally run over to Aqueduct to get bets in and then run back to school. Just a tremendous story. He's been training pretty much off and on. He took one break to spend time with his kids as they were going through upper school and through high school. And then when they went off to college, he dove back in, and with horses based at Parks, you see his name. He's not afraid. He's one of these trainers that would rather run than train, and that's a throwback concept in this era. Well, the pace scenario in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, Discreet Lover just grinding along and finishing, and Manny Franco scrubbing, and he gets up And if you haven't seen the picture, there's a, I just took the picture right off of the screen and did like a screen capture. There it is at the wire, and Christophe Soumillon has got his head cocked to the right, thinking, oh my God, how did we get beat? How did we get beat? And the the fact is that you got beat by a horse that just dances all these dances. And that's to the everlasting credit, and I'm sure to the delight of Uriah St. Louis. We'll hopefully catch up with him in the second half of the show and look forward to it. We misconnected with him back before. I guess it was just, it was actually, when was it? I don't forget what he was. Was it before the Woodward? Maybe before the Woodward? So we'll talk to Uriah St. Louis, and it's just a wonderful outcome in a lot of ways. And I know, you know, plenty of people frustrate. Oh, I bet Mendelsohn, I bet Thundersnow. Okay, I there's people that bet there's people that bet Discreet Lover. It amazing. This kind of result, and I know that it seems random, and you think, well, you know, throws a wrench in everybody. You can't look at it like that. This is a heartening result for a lot of people that work at the game, and from any level. He bought this horse for $10,000 at Timonium. And he's already been rewarded, obviously, a hundredfold. But you win a Jockey Club Gold Cup, and you are, you know, it's a win that you don't ever lose. I mean, it's so special to have a horseman like this win a race like the Gold Cup. Meanwhile, the rest of what was going on, and we got a lot to decipher, diversify. I thought I was asking a germane question the other day when I said, don't you want to sit behind these speeds? And because I didn't see it a mile and a quarter, it's one thing to try to hamstring a field going a mile and an eighth when you're a horse like Diversify. And you can make them run early and gut them. You at a mile and a quarter, it's not the same thing. And so that pace was just, I mean, you had to know. And you could see it coming as they were midway around the turn. And from that standpoint, Mendelsohn ran a absolutely corking race. Mendelsohn comes out of this again after the effort in the Travers and everything that the Coolmore team was looking for. And then talk about Thunder Snow, who really elevated his position. And I guess he's been a dirt horse all along. Is that the message here? And we'll see, but it absolutely enhances the whole approach to the Breeders' Cup Classic to have Mendelsohn and Thunder Snow run the kind of races they ran in this Gold Cup. We'll move to Churchill and the opportunity, and we'll talk to Chad Summers at the bottom of the hour, so I don't have to do too much on this topic, but Mind Your Biscuits was fabulous and absolutely tremendous again, and whatever Chad Summers asks of this horse, he delivers. And I don't think there's any question that he's running in the Classic, and rightly so. And forget, you know, people are going, oh well, he didn't beat he beat a 17-year-old Toast of New York. Wait a minute. It was the way that he did it. It was the way in which he ran. And of course, getting to Churchill early is going to pay, you know, potential. It's already paid dividends, obviously. You win a grade three here and enhance, you know, they were paying money for this. there was a $200,000? Yeah, $200,000 purse, and it's a grade three, and whatever. Getting over the Churchill surface like he did, that's a big win. And 23-4, 24-2, 24-1, 23-4, 12-3. So 36-2 or so. The final 3/8, and that fourth quarter, that Churchill move, that's something that will propel him a good long way. The performance, and we'll talk to Chad in 15 minutes. We're going to take a break here, and we'll come back. The way in which he did this, I mean, literally as he was crossing the wire, and I glanced up at the cumulative splits. And I knew right. I said, "Wow!" I said right away. This was exactly what Chad Summers and the team had to be looking for in this preview, in this dress rehearsal for the mile and a quarter try. So we'll talk to Chad in a little bit. And speaking of, you got a 108 buyer, by the way, in terms of Fig. Quite notable. And toast to New York, Jamie Osborne, who had expressed confidence in toast to New York's preparations. He ran okay. I'll be hard pressed to come back 4 years later or whatever and pick him again, but I don't think I'm going back to that well after one of the more excruciating beats at the time in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But he did run well. So mind your biscuits. And then out to California and Accelerate, who was very professional and just dispatched the awesome again. You know, as kind of expected. And I thought it was very just, I don't want to say workmanlike, because that sort of diminishes. I don't mean it that way. He ran very well. And West Coast, who looked like a chicken in a pot on the turn. It looked like West Coast was going to back up, and he dug in. And I'm sure that had to be a very useful comebacker for West Coast, because it looked like he was dropping anchor. And then he came at it and finished well. That was a very effective and I'm sure positive comeback toward the Classic for West Coast. So everything other than diversify and what I think has got to be, especially when you fold in the fact that he didn't run great. I don't know if it's not fair to say he didn't run great, but his last trip to Churchill, I do wonder if there's going to be any real desire for Mr. Evans and Rick Violette to go to the Classic. And there's a real question, and St. Louis is not going to answer it today, but he had told Dave Granick, basically, the Breeders' Cup Classic, he wants to have this horse long term. He's not. He said Breeders' Cup Classic's not. He said he'll think about it, but it's not some end all and be all, it seems. So, some very interesting results toward the Classic. And when we come back, we'll hit the highlights on just an amazing weekend. There's a lot of things. Channel Maker changes up his style and very effectively dispatches the Joe Hirsch Imperial Hint with a paid workout. So much more. Big disappointment from Abel Tasman as the other Baffert. One of those again. Back after this. Just getting going.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Where the Nile flows and the moon glows on the silent sand of an ancient land. When a dream dies and a
back at the races and back with you on XM for those of you that were banging your dashboard. It's not like a TV with rabbit ears. It doesn't work like that. It's not a UHF. You're not going to, you know, fine tune. So I guess XM, the engineering department had to. They had to crack the whip on the squirrels and straighten them out. So all you missed was me making just an absolute bouquet of flowers to Uriah St. Louis and Discreet Lover. I spent a good portion of the early minutes talking about the Jockey Club Gold Cup upset and really how wonderful, honestly, it is. And Manny Franco, for Manny Franco, another great one. And Manny Franco has really elbowed his way right, you know, to at near the top with the fellow Islanders, the Ortiz brothers, and Manny Franco, who we always liked, and he had the, you know, kind of that kind of burst on the scene. Then he had that not atypical period, you know, when a young rider, you know, kind of struggles at a certain point and then goes on with it and gets to that, you know, the middle 20s and the next, you know, the next level of maturity and success. And Manny Franco is really right there. I mentioned Channel Makers win and big, you know, big step forward for Channel Maker. And I suppose for the, you know, the people that had been betting him and knowing that this kind of performance was there somewhere. You get rewarded, and so does Jose Ortiz and Bill Mott and the team behind Channel Maker, 108 buyer. And actually, it was a big English Channel. There was a couple of notable English Channel performances over the weekend. The Channel Cat down at Laurel won the Bald Eagle Derby, the inaugural Bald Eagle Derby, and was dynamite. He demolished that field, Fergal Lynch. And since I mentioned Laurel, how about Dr. Mounty? Another, how often do you get 26 and change to one on Shug McGahee? You got it on Saturday in the DC International, and Shug gets another DC International. He won his first one 33 years ago. Van Landingham. And then he won it with Mr. Speaker 3 years ago. And now here's a third, the Street Sense, Dr. Mounty. This is a cool story. And I'm not going to reach for Shug today, but maybe tomorrow. Shug bought this horse for $170,000 for his clients, Pratt. And I'm going to forget the owner's, the other owner's name, Pratt. And I'll have to look it up. But $170,000. And Shug signed the ticket, and they've had this is their only horse, and they've had a lot of fun with him. And here's a graded stake win. Forrest Boyce, by the way, her first graded stake win in 3 years, and the last win came actually for Shug as well on Onus in the Commonwealth Oaks. There's nothing better than a Forrest Boyce win at a high level, because she's adorable doing the interviews afterward. You know, she's always kind of aw shucks and gosh gee. And she's so much fun to under those settings, and easy to be happy for her. And Dr. Mounty wins. I'm calling it the DC International. Of course, now the Baltimore Washington International. They might, if they're going to call it the Baltimore Washington, they might as well change the name of this race to the Thurgood Marshall, like they did the airport. The rest of the action at Churchill, in addition to Mind Your Biscuits, and Chad to join us in about 10 minutes. The win by Seeking the Soul in the ACAC, going to propel him right into the dirt mile. And Brian Hernandez and Dallas Stewart, Mr. Fipke. You can't keep Fipke out of the big dances. Hot Springs, too, in the Jeff Cup. Steve Asmussen. And Steve Asmussen, we'll get to Steve Asmussen and the last night's Oklahoma City successes. There were 17 horses at least scheduled to run from the Asmussen barn last night at Remington, and the Oklahoma Derby and the Remington Oaks. And Asmussen won the Oaks with She's a Julie, And she was an easiest of winners. But things didn't go great for the four-pack. You sent four horses out in the Oklahoma Derby. It was, if you didn't see it last night, it was terrific. Really exciting. Three horses, any one of which could have won. You had a three-headed noses-on-the-wire scenario. And Lone Sailor. We won't talk to Tom Amos today, probably tomorrow. But got to be happy for Mrs. Benson and Greg Bensel and the whole team, the Benson family, and James Graham aboard. Lone Sailor gets that elusive stake win. He was getting so close, so close. And boy, if you thought to yourself, well, he won't win this photo because there's two other horses that, and it seemed for a second, I thought that the Larry Jones horse might have been a winner. And then on the replay, you could see that Lone Sailor had was going to get it and did. Really fun. In fact, Tina and I at that point had you know, we had getting ready for bed, and to be honest, and I said, "You want to bet the Oklahoma Derby?" She said, "Sure." I put in an exacta box for her and caught it, and that was a kind of a nice way to end the weekend. Out to California, I gave you the hint about what went wrong yesterday for Baffert and China Horse Club and Company with Abel Tasman, who was absolutely as dull, broke flat-footed, and never at any point looked like she was going to threaten, even when she did move a little bit near the middle point of the backstretch. You could tell she did not have it, and Baffert a little worried. He's got some horses that have gotten sick that are one section of the barn, and he's thinking we'll maybe get some results later and some news from Baffert. But in the meantime, he slapped blinkers on Valdori, who it was up or out time for her. And she had, after having such great form going back, you know, a year ago and before that, she kind of wore down, it seemed. And this is a huge win for Valdori. Wins the Zenyatta. Great win for Joe Talamo. It's a win and you're into the distaff, so I'm sure she'll go. Meanwhile, the rest of Saturday's action, Baffert, game winner, was terrific in the juvenile. And a 98 buyer in there, and he will be your juvenile favorite, barring surprises in the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland or the Champagne. Game winner. And he wasn't flashy, to be honest. He just went about his business. But big performance, and obviously a big day for Joel Rosario between Accelerate and Game Winner, enjoying his trips out west. Bella Fina, we got to get to Simon Callahan at some point. We didn't talk to him after the Del Mar debutante, and Bella Fina backed up her downstate Grade One with a very polished win in the Chandelier. So the West Coast will come to Churchill with a serious hand, clearly. And we still have to see what the Alcibiades and the Frisette produce, but undoubtedly Game Winner and Bella Fina, they're going to come in with lofty expectations to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Juvenile Fillies. Vasilika, that was something. From claimer to Grade One winner, the skip shot daughter, Flavian Pratt, off to the filly and mare turf. Jerry Hollendorfer, this is a story. I mean, they take a horse like this and just go on, what is it, a six now? Six or seven race win streak. Amazing, and with authority, quite something. And speaking of which, the corresponding performance yesterday in the John Henry, not a win and you're in, but Michael McCarthy. And he had sent Paved, you know, Paved had ran very well in the Rodeo Drive to be second. So grade one placing for Paved. But Liam the Charmer. Wow. And the John Henry. I mean, he they turned for home, and you thought, well, there's not going to be, you know, you weren't going to get, at that point, it didn't, it sure didn't look, from, at least visually, like there was going to be an opportunity to rally. But there was, and Liam the Charmer stormed home. Tyler Gaffalione aboard, and wins. That was nice. So we got to catch up with Michael McCarthy, too, who we always enjoy visiting with. A couple of other quick notes before we go to the break. At the opening day feature, Stormy Liberal. Big performance in the Eddie D. And Stormy Liberal is going to storm. Of course, different. You do have a different distance to deal with for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, but Stormy Liberal, Drayden Van Dyke, very impressive, and Peter Miller, once again, 1-2 in one of these things, Conquest Tsunami, who set the pace, and actually dug in like, you know, like gangbusters to try to hold off Stormy Liberal. Caribou Club, a good third in here for Proctor. And then in the girls race in the Unzip Me on Saturday, Trevisa at a big price. And I was looking to salvage the late multis and was live to a number of horses. Not Trevisa, though, at 9-1. Bayerano, Doug O'Neill. So I closed it out. You also had some of those maiden races that we talked about. Improbable was very good, but so was Stretford End. 85 buyer for Improbable, the Baffert Furster DVD aboard. But Stretford End for Kaleem Shah and Simon Callahan was very good in there. And you also had Dueling that had come up, the Violence for Hollendorfer, Mike Smith, going the mile. And Dueling, two more important maiden winners from the West Coast over the weekend. And, of course, at some point we'll have to talk about the preposterous call, the taking of Drayden Van Dyke down on Friday that was just one of those that you just shake your head. A guy doing all he can to everything you'd expect a jock to do, tightening up on the rail, not letting a horse pass you on the inside, something that everybody is taught to do. Every jock, there is not a jockey in racing anywhere in the world that would not have done the exact same thing that Drayden Van Dyke did, attempting to ensure that he wasn't going to be dragged off the horse and screamed at by Mike Pipey. And good for him, because that was the right thing to do. And Saratoga Morning, DeSormo manages to convince stewards. It pulls the wool over their eyes over and over again. He's been doing this for his whole Hall of Fame career. You remember Tony? You remember Tony's? Tony Black has got the greatest explanation for that. The steward's call. What were you doing there, cutting that horse off on the rail? I left him a hole, Judge. The horse was too fat to go through. That's Tony's. That's the best explanation. Good for Drayden Van Dyke. And every horseman in the country would applaud what he did. just moving over just enough to say, you can't go through there on me. When did the game change where that, when you're clear and you're basically saying you can't go through here? Good for you, Drayden. Unbelievable. We'll take a break. Come back with with Chad Summers.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I wanna be rich and I want lots of money. I don't care about clever, I don't care about funny. I want loads of clothes and fuck loads of diamonds. I heard people die while they're trying to find them. And I'll take my clothes off and it will be shameless, cause everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, I'm on to a winner.
We're back at the races, little Lily Allen on this Monday, and no fear, I would imagine, from Team Summers when it comes to the next start for Mind Your Biscuits after a really perfect step toward the Breeders' Cup for the Son of Posse, and Chad Summers joins us. Chad, congratulations.
Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
You know, I wrote you, it wasn't just getting the win. It was the way he did it, and those even quarters, nothing sets my heart alight more than 24-second quarters going a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, that will be the next step, right?
It's got to be, right? You guys have got to be very confident.
We'll see.
What would hold you back?
Well, you know, you just want to see kind of how the dynamics of the race is set up in all three different races between the sprint, the dirt mile, and the classic, you know, where the speed is and, you know, who's going where, the moving parts. Obviously, Roaring Lion, you want to watch him run. You know, the classic horses, he'd probably be the only one left that would still have a prep left if that was the route he decided to go. But, you know, kind of see how everything kind of shakes out. Obviously, wait to see what that Versify does. And we didn't win a winning year in, so. And it's $150,000 to put up to tell everybody we can go 10 furlongs.
Well, from a confidence standpoint, and it's not as if you hadn't, you know, already made a step in this direction beforehand, but talk about the race, and that included, you know, being in the early mix and establishing some early position. Talk about what you discussed with Tyler and how it all played out.
Yeah, I say a lot of credit to Joel Rosario. Tyler had a chance earlier in the week to talk to Joel, and you know Joel knows him so well, and kind of gave him some tips about riding the horse. And you know Tyler did his homework. He went and he watched the replays of Biscuit's old races, and you know we sat down and talked about kind of different plans. And it looked like Flowers for Lisa would probably be a little bit loose on the lead, and we didn't want to be too far back. You know Navarro, when he gets loose on the lead, is dangerous. So. We wanted to make sure that we were always kind of in eyesight of him. And he was real keen. I mean, he'd been giving us all signs all week that he was sitting on a big race. And, you know, breaking from the gate, he was ready to go do his thing. And, you know, when you're going 23 and change, 48, it's a lot different than, you know, 22, 46. So he was up close and, you know, in a little bit of traffic, which will be good because, you know, that Breeders' Cup field will be a big field. You know, in years past, when we run in the sprints, it's been 8-9 horse field. So this year, whatever race we're running will be a bigger field. And so to have Honorable Duty to our inside, we had Breaking Lucky kind of pinned us on the outside. We were in between horses. And the fact that he was able to settle despite all that, I think was a very good sign.
Well, and as we laid out, and I even quoted the quarters, 23 and 4, 24 and 2, 24 and 1, 23 and 4 for that fourth quarter, and then 12 and 3 coming home. So 36 and 2 for the final 3/8. And, you know, he was striding out beautifully late in the game, and that bodes well, you would think, for the final quarter, if there's going to be that final quarter. And honestly, I when you've run 2 1/8 races in a row, Chad, not that you couldn't sharpen him for a potential one-turn start, but doesn't everything that you've been doing to this point more or less condition him for 10 furlongs?
Oh, I mean, this has been our plan. You know, I think we've had a lot of doubters along the way thinking that, you know, you can't take a horse who's a sprinter and make him, you know, a two-turn horse, but you know, Minor Biscuits has been an anomaly his entire life. So, you know, I think the rules kind of get thrown out the window for that. But, yeah, I mean, since we've come back from Dubai, you know, everything we've done has been to condition him to go two turns and to stretch out, and he's done it well. So, yeah, you know, we're really proud of those fractions. And, you know, also we kind of had Tyler gallop him out after the race and have him keep going out because, you know, you may have to get that 10 furlong, and he galloped out really, really strong as well. So we were proud of that. And obviously, you know, completely different dynamics of the other races on Super Saturday in New York and California. The fields might have been a little bit different, but, I mean, in California they came home in 39, and I think in New York, obviously, they went blazing fast early, but they also came home, I think, their last quarter. Granted, it wasn't about a quarter, but they also came home their last 3/8 in 39 as well. So a little bit different dynamic than what we had.
Being at Churchill early, obviously, got to be a plus. And in the what has it been, 10 days or so, what did you see? And obviously, you know, quote unquote, handled the track. But I imagine, you know, you had confidence just from watching him, you know, gallop into the race.
Yeah, you know, that's always the unknown when you come to a new track. I mean, this is the 10th different track that we've run at in his career, and he's handled them all well. I don't think he loves Saratoga, unfortunately, and I don't think that he really was crazy about Parks, but, you know, he ran well in both those places despite that. He took to this track right away. Galloped strong. The first day he galloped, he's pulling the rider's arms out and, you know, showed all signs that he likes this track and handles this track. And, you know, we're students of the game, and we pay close attention to what we've seen over the years. And, you know, when horses have shipped in early, for the most part, it's worked out well. You look at Gunrunner last year, Steve shipping up to Santa Anita before Del Mar. I get him used to that time difference and the weather and everything else. Kathy Ritvo going out to California early, another example. So to me, you know, seeing those horses and seeing what they were able to do having shipped over early, that played a big role in our decision to come down here as well.
Well, and the other one that I think of on that front was Tim Ice with Summer Bird. He always ran in early. I mean, literally 10 minutes after the Derby, he was in Belmont. I don't think that Bird had been unsaddled, and I think Tim was on the road to Belmont already. And then up to Saratoga. He always came in early, and
Absolutely. And
that always was a benefit. You know, I'm going to ask a bit of a business question too. I mean, for Sade and for, you know, his racing days ahead of going to Japan to stand, what kind of incentives, what kind of elements are involved? Because I'm sure there's some of that.
Not really.
No?
I mean, the incentives that we did with him as far as the Stallion deal was concerned were more generic ones, you know, winning Eclipse Awards, winning Breeders' Cup, the Longines Horse of the Year. The Bet Pile was actually a really big one, so that Noah's photo was expensive on multiple fronts. But no, I mean, they've been great to work with, and as far as what the future will hold for him at the end of this year, that'll be a conversation that I'll have. Mr. Yoshida will inform me actually Saturday night that he's going to be coming in for the Breeders' Cup. So I'm very excited about that. Obviously, he's going to run against his father's namesake in Yoshida, right, that his brother bred. So there'll be some sibling rivalry as well. But we'll sit down after the Breeders' Cup and we'll talk. He'll have one race following the Breeders' Cup for sure. And then after that, that'll be up to them if they'd like to go on with it. You know, I'd love, you know, the opportunities to keep going. And, you know, we have the Pegasus with the $9 million purse. You have the Dubai World Cup with the $12 million purse. And maybe even go to Royal Ascot. You know, the Japanese love grass racing. So, you know, in a perfect world, that would be the plan. In an imperfect world, you know, following the Breeders' Cup, we'd look at one of three races, either the Clark, the Cigar Mile, or the Champion Stakes in Japan on December 3rd.
You mentioned the opportunity to get to Churchill and run there. For you too, they made note on the broadcast that you know, your first opportunity to saddle and to run a horse at Churchill. What's it like to win under the Twin Spires?
It's great. You know, you make that walk over. I'd never been here for night racing. I've worked here before. I worked for Chuck Simon and Billy Gowan and Bernie Flint, but they never had night racing back then. The closest thing to a night race we had was when Speedway beat Poland in a quarter mile race for legislators that wasn't even a real race yet. But it's the only time Curlin got beat, really. And then, so the night racing and everybody was coming over from the football game across the street. So, I mean, it was a packed house and the place was rocking, and, you know, you make that walk over and it's not the Derby, but it certainly felt like it for us.
Well, the story continues to evolve, and there'll be a climax. There may be multiple climaxes yet to come, but the Mind Your Biscuit story is so much fun. And for you and the whole team, just a magical ride. How soon do you figure to make a decision, Chad, when it comes to, you know, where you want to go? Because it's got to affect your training schedule, the race preference.
Well, I think it's not going to affect our training schedule, that's for sure. I mean, we have things in mind, you know, which race we declare for that will come for, you know, probably a couple of weeks.
you know, 2-3 weeks, see how everything kind of plays out. But we have some things in mind, but we're not ready yet to disclose which way we're going.
All right. Well, I just, in terms of the training aspect, you know, if he was going to go back to one turn, you'd just assume you'd, you know, want to, you know, sharpen some speed. But either way, I'm sure you're asking, you know, asking in the morning for him to finish fast. That was evident, I thought, the way in which he finished and galloped out.
And that's, you know, that's always kind of been the thing with us, is it's always about how you finish, you know, in his workout. You see now, you know, they went from the 46s and the 59s to the, you know, 102s and 126 for 7-8s and things of that nature. But he's always been like that. He's always been a true galloper. You know, that's what gave us the confidence that he would be able to stretch out. We understand when people say it's tough for sprinters to stretch out, but he's not really a typical sprinter. He's not a horse that's blasting away from the gate and trying to hold on. You know, he can be tactical, too. You know, he showed in the Malibu, he showed in the Belmont Sprint. Even in those three-quarter, seven-eighths races, he can lay somewhat close to the pace. Even in the Met Mile, he was only, you know, about 6-7 lengths behind, you know, Luce on the lead B jersey. So he's very, very tactical, and he's very kind to the bit. So he'll break, he'll get himself into somewhat position, and then he's comfortable. And he's so smart, he's so alert to the rider's cues that, you know, whether it be Tyler or Joel, when they're on him, when they give him the cue to go, he knows to go ahead and pick it up and go do his thing, and he knows where the wire is, and that's a big deal. And, you know, the good thing with him is he walks for a week after the race anyway, so it gives us plenty of time to figure things out. We're not in a rush like he's going back to the track tomorrow or something like that. You know, we've had our same kind of training regimen with him for the last 3-4 years, so it just kind of stays of more of the same. He'll just have a real easy week this week. He grazes for 45 minutes. This morning we watched Nitrous at both the Oral Train, and he's just grazing away, pick his head up for a little bit, and go back and get some more grass, and he just loves it.
Well, we love what has gone on with Mind Your Biscuits, up to $4.2 million in earnings, and the New York Bred that just keeps padding his resume, and Chad, obviously, keeping him healthy and happy, and looking forward to seeing where the peg falls in the roulette wheel for Breeders' Cup. But I think he certainly deserves and fits toward a classic try. So there's my vote.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve, and you know, it'll be a fun next 4.5 weeks. That's for sure.
We'll be watching, and you know. By the way, I did notice that it looks like you're trying to transition followers over to the C Summers Racing, right? Away from Horse Summers.
That one's just more active. That's our social media team. You know, we got Janet on that, and she does a great job for us. And there's pictures and videos and things like that. I might be young, but I'm not very technologically efficient. So Janet does a great job running that site for us.
Well, C Summers Racing, and there's ChadSummersRacing.com, but on the Twitter front, the original Chad account was Horse Summers, and
that's still there. That's just me when I want to spout off, I guess.
There you go. Something else you must have learned from Chuck Simon.
Absolutely. Chuck kills me because the first time, unfortunately. When people think of the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, everybody's supposed to think of the Derby and the walkover and this and that. My first day working for Chuck Simon, we had a gelding, and his barn was right in front of the Twin Spires. So all I think of is holding the legs while a poor horse got neutered is all I can think of when I see the Twin Spires. Thanks, Chuck.
some early days on there in Audubon Park on the Simon couch as well, right? That's
absolutely. I still have an unpaid parking ticket outside in front of his house, so hopefully I don't get arrested.
Well, you know, I at least two Breeders' Cups at Churchill where I had to give out the candy for Halloween with the Chihuahuas with the Paula's Chihuahuas. The Chihuahuas were all dressed up in idiotic outfits.
Absolutely.
It was hysterical. That's one of my favorite, because I'm never home for Halloween. And, of course, we get a million kids here in Greenwich. But I can think of two different times that one time Chuck was gone. They were out, and I was alone in the house for Halloween night. And they went out and did something. And there were a lot of kids. You know, Audubon Park, it's very family-oriented. And must have given away 150 pieces of candy at the Simon house. It was pretty fun.
Listen, at least you didn't get to the part where you just put a bunch of candy on the front lawn and just said, "Help yourself."
that's what our neighbor does. They turn off the light and they just put the bowl out. And when, you know, some kid comes along and pours the whole bowl into their bag and that into the. That's
well,
it.
We're hoping to have a lot more treats than tricks come Halloween time.
Well, indeed, and Halloween week and Breeders' Cup coming fast, 5 weeks away from Saturday, and Mind Your Biscuits will be there in at least one race. You can only run in one.
Yeah, we're negotiating that, too.
I love it. Chad Summers, everybody, and Mind Your Biscuits with the Lucas Classic win, and... He's in somewhere. We'll see where going forward. Chad, we'll see you soon. Talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Maybe we can start a GoFundMe page for the 150 for the class.
Easy. Jeez. Holy cow. Chad Summers, everybody. I love it. A couple of minutes. We'll take the top of the hour timeout and come back with Johnny D. We'll talk about the Stronach 5 from Friday. We'll see how I know what Johnny was looking at. I don't know what his final ticket decision was, but he and I were kind of bouncing back and forth about singles, and it was exactly as tricky as planned. And it's funny because I'm trying to think of who it was now. Got beat in the first leg. Oh, it was Hammer. I talked to Hammer on was it Friday? I guess he called me Friday night. And he said, "I missed that horse in the first." I said, "Yeah, the first leg." He said, "Yeah." And then I ran the table. I thought, "Oh my God!" Because that first Lasix winner in the opener. So it's interesting. Everybody, people got tripped up here, there, and everywhere. Let's see what Johnny's thoughts were, and later, Araya St. Louis. Bottom of hour two, and much, much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermo on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.